This is the Word of Truth broadcast, sponsored by Mount Zion Bible Church of Pensacola, Florida. This is Pastor L.R. Shelton, Jr. speaking. We count it a privilege to be able to come in your home again today with the Word of God which liveth and abideth forever. This weekly broadcast of the Word of Truth is dedicated to the teaching and preaching of the Word of God as it is to men as they are, for the sole purpose of the glorification of our triune God, the edification of God's people, and the salvation of lost souls. We give you an invitation to meet with us each week at this time to partake of God's Word together. Greetings in the name of our lovely Lord, whose we are and whom we serve. Welcome again to another Word of Truth broadcast. Our Bible reading we found in 1 Timothy chapter 6, beginning with verse 6. But godliness with contentment is great gain, for we brought nothing into this world, and it is certain we can carry nothing out. And having food and raiment, let us be therewith content. But they that will be rich fall into temptation and a snare, and into many foolish and hurtful lusts, which drown men in destruction and perdition. For the love of money is the root of all evil, which while some coveted after, they have erred from the faith, and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. But thou, O man of God, flee these things, and follow after righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, meekness, and fight the good fight of faith, and lay hold on eternal life, whereunto thou art also called. Let us pray. Our Father, we thank you that you've brought us to this hour, and again given us the opportunity to speak thy precious word to this waiting radio audience. We come with burdened heart, praying that thy word will go forth in power and much assurance. The Holy Spirit being present to speak through us to each and every one who listens, and that thy word will not return to thee void, but will accomplish that whereunto you sent it. For it is in Christ's name we pray and ask. Amen.
Sweet hour of prayer, sweet hour.
We say thanks for your letters and gifts received this past week, for the encouragement and support of this Word of Truth broadcast. Our hearts are encouraged to again continue to preach the Word of God as it is to men as they are, trusting Him to work in the hearts and lives of each and every one of you listeners. We're happy that you're with us. Have you written for your free book that we're offering this month entitled Studies in the Person and Work of Jesus Christ by W.E. Best. A book I certainly would want to put in your hands. 130 pages declaring the incarnation of Christ, His virgin birth, His human nature, His human body, His human soul, His human growth, His impeccable life, His prayer life, the drawing power of Christ, His miracles, His death, His headship, His kingship. I've read this little book 3 times. It has always blessed my soul. And I'm glad that it's now time for me to give it away free to you. And I want you to have it. If you'll write for it, we'll be happy to send it to you free and postpaid. Ask for it by name, Studies in the Person and Work of Jesus Christ. Our mailing address is Word of Truth, 2603 West Wright Street, Pensacola, Florida, 32505. And now for God's message. My friend, we have in the past weeks been bringing messages on the true and the false gospel, showing you the true gospel of the grace of God versus the false gospel of carnal Christianity, which has swept like wildfire through Christendom in these last decades and still damning more souls to hell than seemingly any other of Satan's subtle lies. In our messages in the last weeks, we've been showing the fruits that grow on the tree of this false gospel as they're described in 2 Timothy 3:1-7. We have brought before you a description of these fruits and the lives of those who bear these fruits under 3 headings. First, their behavior is all wrong, described under the words and expressions, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, traitors, and heady. Second, their opinion is all wrong, described under the words and expressions boasters, proud, high-minded, and despisers of those that are good. Third, we looked at their affection is all wrong, described by the words and expressions without natural affection, lovers of their own selves, covetous, and lovers of pleasures more than the lovers of God. All of these descriptions are found in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 1-7, and is spoken of a people who have a form of godliness but deny the power thereof. And he's speaking not here of the world, but of the professed Christendom without Christ. Those who have made a profession but do not possess the grace of God. And he shows the fruit that they bear. And I have entitled it the fruit of the false gospel of carnal Christianity. Now, having looked under the expression, their affection is all wrong, at those 2 expressions, lovers of their own selves and without natural affection, today we desire to look at the next word under this heading, and it is the word covetous, or lovers of money. Yes, my dear friend, this is another fruit of the false gospel of carnal Christianity, covetousness, a fruit of which the Word of God gives us many warnings by commandments and by examples. And I do want you to hear, as I've been much burdened in preparing this message, and God would send it home in power and much assurance to each and every one of our hearts. And I pray that He'll search your heart as He has searched mine, and that our hearts will be warned with this Word of God today. Will you listen? What a warning God gives us in 1 Timothy 6:9-10 concerning this fruit of carnal Christianity. Listen to God's Word. But they that will be rich fall into temptation and a snare, and into many foolish and hurtful lusts, which drown men in destruction and perdition. For the love of money is the root of all evil, which while some coveted after, that is, they have stretched themselves to the limit after, they have erred from the faith and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. My friend, in spite of these words of warning that a man who is a lover of money, whose heart is eaten up with covetousness, has erred from the faith, in spite of our Lord's warning in Luke 12:15, where he said, "Take heed and beware of covetousness, for a man's life consisteth not in the abundance of the things which he possesseth." In spite of the words found in Ephesians 5:5, where we read that a covetous man is an idolater, which breaks the second and the tenth commandment. In spite of 1 Corinthians 6:10, which says that a covetous man shall not inherit the kingdom of God, this false gospel of carnal Christianity tells its converts that they are saved and saved forever because they have made a profession. They are told that this love of money and what it will buy is a natural thing, for they are still babes or carnal Christians, and everything will be all right by and by. They are told that they are the king's kids, and surely the king's kids shall have everything that their hearts desire. But my friend, I want you to listen as we try to describe today the fruit of this gospel of carnal Christianity and see its damning effects. Those who are covetous, lovers of money, and have not the grace of God in their hearts. Will you listen? The Greek word for greed or covetousness is very descriptive. It means to thirst for having more, always having more, and still more. It is if a man, in order to quench his thirst, takes a drink of salt water, which happens to be the only water available. This makes him even more thirsty, so he drinks again and again until his thirst kills him. Listen to me now. So it is with the sin of covetousness or greed. It is the uncontrolled yearning to have more, more, and still more, until covetousness kills the soul of man, and then he abides under the curse of God forever. As Proverbs 27:20 tells us, hell and destruction are never full, so the eyes of man are never satisfied. I say, my friend, what a sin. A deep-seated sin in the soul that's never satisfied. For you see, covetousness damns a man to hell, because a man who is filled with covetousness is never satisfied. Listen again. To show us further the deceitfulness of the sin of covetousness, of greed, our Lord warns us with a parable about a rich man who was eaten up with this sin. Listen to Luke 12:16-21. Our Lord said, "The ground of a certain rich man brought forth plentifully. He thought in himself, saying, 'What shall I do? Because I have no room where to bestow my fruits.' And he said, 'This will I do. I will pull down my barns and build greater, and there will I bestow all my fruits and my goods. And I will say to my soul, Soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry.' But God said unto him, 'Thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. Then who shall those things be which thou hast provided? So is he that layeth up treasure for himself, and is not rich toward God.'" And I believe this covers it all. Covetousness makes a man treasure up for himself upon earth things for which he has no need, and lay up no treasure in heaven toward God. So we see that covetousness deceives a man about his values. He places emphasis on things and misses the blessing of living for Christ and for others. So you see, dear friend, this sin, when found in a professing Christendom, is a blight upon Christianity. When men hide under the false gospel of carnal Christianity, saying, "All is well with my soul because I have made a profession of faith," then they are deceived as they live in this damning sin of covetousness. Again, covetousness is a damning sin because it hinders the word of God from coming into the soul. Listen to me now. Through covetousness, a man sees only his wants rather than the needs of his soul. So it blinds the eyes of his understanding and closes his ears to hearing God's claims upon him in his life. Through self-interest, his ears are closed to the precepts and commandments of the Word of God that God has given for the good of mankind and for His own glory. Instead of seeking first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, he runs greedily after the world, grasping and loving the things of the world. He heeds not the warnings of God's Word which are given to protect and help him. So instead of having the greatest good, which is God as revealed in Christ, he chooses the greatest evil, and that is sin, at his own peril. As he blindly pursues his own depraved desires, he says in his soul, I must have my way. I must have that woman or that man if I have to break up their marriage to get them. I'll have my pleasure and my drink and my money and my home and my job and my good things in life and my way, no matter what the consequences. And my friend, this is the essence of evil. And this is the heart of every man or woman outside of Christ, even though you are told you are a carnal Christian and will go to heaven by and by because you've made a profession of faith. My friend, covetousness then blinds the soul into believing a lie that he has the right to do with himself as he pleases. And he says to God, don't you get in my way. But my friend, if God never comes in mercy to your soul and you die in this condition, you're in a terrible fix. Hell from beneath will meet you at your coming. Did you know that? Oh, that God would open the hearts of every one of you who have been deceived, that you may see and cry unto God to break the power of covetousness in your heart and life today. Or you say, but I have received Him as my Savior. But my friend, have you bowed to Him as your Lord? Do you know Him as your Lord? You see, there is no having Christ as Savior without having Him as Lord. And when He's Lord of your life, He will direct your life. And you cannot say to Him, don't get in my way. I'll have my way. For God will be Lord of all. Now let us go back to the parable of the farmer, as our Lord talked about in Luke 12. And I ask, what was wrong with this farmer? Was it the fact that he was successful? Of course not. Nowhere does Scripture condemn success or riches as such. God never rejected Abraham or Solomon, Job or Joseph of Arimathea for being rich and successful. What was wrong then with this rich man? Had he acquired his wealth by dishonest means? There is nothing in this parable that points in that direction. On the contrary, we are given the impression that the man had become rich because of God's blessings upon the labors of his hands, causing the soil to be so fruitful that it produced bountiful crops. What was wrong then? Well, I believe the verses there in Luke 12, 16 through 21 clearly indicate what was wrong. Listen, the rich man shows that he did not know himself. You see, he failed to realize that his body was mortal and would not live on for many years. He was deceived by the deceitfulness of riches, and of which our Lord warns us in Matthew 13, 22 in these words, the cares of this world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and he becometh unfruitful. Also, he did not take into account the fact that the ample goods in which he rejoiced would not satisfy his soul. You see, he had nothing for his soul, and this is where the deceitfulness of sin, the sin of covetousness, lies. It seeks after pleasure and enjoyment of the physical body, while the soul is given nothing to feed upon. We read in Isaiah 44:20 about that covetous man. It is said that he feedeth on ashes. A deceived heart hath turned him aside, that he cannot deliver his soul, nor say, is there not a lie in my right hand? And my friend, you're deceived today if you're provided only for the body and the mind and for your family and all your physical needs, but you have not provided for your soul. You feed on ashes. You do not feed upon the Word of God that's able to make you wise unto salvation. And my friend, your little religious profession and your carnal Christian gospel is not going to be able to hold you in that day. For what is a man profited if he gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? We see then that covetousness is the worship of self, which is the embodiment of all evil. Because self is upon the throne of the heart, everything of this life becomes servant to the gratification of all fleshly and selfish desires. Selfishness is essentially my right to my own self and all that I touch for my pleasure and for my glory. Me, my, and mine. My friend, that's covetousness. It says, in essence, I'm concerned only for myself, so I will get what I want no matter how I get it, and who I hurt, even if I hurt my own soul, and no matter how I lie or how many sins, lives I wreck, I'm going to do just what I want to do. But that's a heart of rebellion against God, my friend. And that spirit must be broken. And I ask you, young people, and I ask you, you elder people, and you who are middle life, you who want your way, and you're going to get your way, what if God would say to you, as he said to that man in Luke 12, "Thou fool, this day thy soul is required of thee, and then whose are those things going to be? You can't take anything with you. For we brought nothing into this world, and it is certain we can carry nothing out," according to 1 Timothy 6:7. Did you know the 6 feet of earth makes us all just alike? Again, the root of the matter, as brought out by our Lord in this parable, is that by his selfishness this rich man was not rich toward God. He was even stealing or coveting the time the Lord had given him to prepare for eternity by running after his own foolish and hurtful lust, of which 1 Timothy 6:9 and 10 warns us. Listen to God's word again. "They that will be rich fall into temptation and the snare, and into many foolish and hurtful lusts, which drown men in destruction and perdition. For the love of money is the root of all evil, which while some coveted after, they have erred from the faith and pierced themselves through with many sorrows." Oh, my friend, I speak to your soul today. What an awful thing it is for a man not to be rich toward God. This is the worst poverty a man can have. For if you are not storing up riches in heaven, you are treasuring up wrath against the day of wrath, according to Romans 2:5. If you are not in Christ, you are not sending treasures ahead to the next world by his grace. And then you're deceived. Then you'll receive the wages of sin, which is eternal death, according to Romans 6:25. And I say, poor is your soul if you know nothing about the riches of God's grace. Oh, my friend, will you listen? Again, sermons die in a covetous heart. Now, I want you to get this. I said sermons die in a covetous heart because the soul is taken up with the world and does not want to hear of a life of self-denial. This, again, is why it's a damning sin. It hinders the word of God as it is preached from taking hold in your heart. You might come to the house of God, but you cannot hear the word of God as long as your heart goes after covetousness and the pleasures of this world. You are there physically, but you are thinking of how you can make more money. Your soul is robbed of the blessing, and you go on pining and working and looking forward to nothing but the deceitfulness of riches and the pleasures of this life. You have no time for the word of God. You have no time to meditate upon the goodness and grace and the mercy of God, who has given you time to repent. Listen to me now. You're content with a few tears or with a few verses of Scripture. You're content to give a few dollars to the work of God and to damn your soul to hell because you're not willing to break before God and become a self-denying one. So the sermon dies in your heart because you do not want to hear of a life of self-denial. You want your way. It is said of the stony ground, the thorny ground here in the parable of the sower in Matthew 13:22, that the seed received among thorns is lost because the cares of this world and the deceitfulness of the riches and the pleasures of this life choke the word, making the hearer unfruitful. Yes, and this covetous heart makes a man fit only for hell. Therefore, we know that covetousness keeps a man from praying. It keeps him from believing and studying the word of God. For a covetous man cannot live by faith. He trusts in things rather than the living God, who gave us richly all things to enjoy, according to 1 Timothy 6:17. Oh, my dear friend, will you listen to me? If God has shown you today that this is your heart, why don't you fall down before him in repentance? Do not lean upon that little false profession any longer. Crying to him for mercy against this sin that closes the heart against God, against your fellow man, and against providing for your never-dying soul. Cry out against this sin that has deceived you into believing all is well with your soul because you made a profession one day and somebody told you you were saved for heaven even though you're just a carnal Christian. Oh, may God work. May He have mercy. May He come down in power and in much assurance and deal with your soul as only He can. May He work mightily and effectually in giving you a heart of grace and a heart to cry out after Him as never before. Why don't you cry, Lord, break the power of sin in my life. Oh, my friend, I would not let Him go. I would keep crying after Him. I would cry daily, oh, Lord, don't leave me to myself. Continue to break the power of sin, giving me victory over it as you have promised in Romans 6:14. My friend, why don't you bring every sin to Him in the light of His Word and cry out against it that He may cleanse it by His blood and deliver you by His power, giving you that grace which is needful that you may close in with Him. That you may close in with Him by faith. Cast in your never-dying soul upon Him that you'll no longer be deceived, but you'll walk in the liberty of the sons of God. And I say, based upon the eternal Word of God, you will find in the Lord Jesus Christ, who is the lover of sinful souls, you're all and in all, for Christ is all and in all. My friend, you'll want a copy of this message. We'll be happy to send it to you free and postpaid if you will write us. For I do believe that it needs to be in your hands, and you need to read it and meditate upon it. Our mailing address is Word of Truth, 2603 West Wright Street, Pensacola, Florida, 32505. We're happy that you've been with us today. We pray that the blessings of our gracious Lord will rest upon you. Until this time next week, goodbye, and may God bless you.